more than 200 years ago.
That's what I say.
I can get no satisfaction. I can get no satisfaction.
And when did the Daughters of American Revolution acquire the building? Bit about what goes on at the chapter. As far as the, I know that there's a whole like library there.
When I'm riding around the world and I'm doing this and singing that and I'm trying to meet some girl, you tell me I better come back. I can't get no.
Served in the revolution?
Sure. I mean, I have several, but my main ancestor in which I became a member is John Livingston. That would be John Livingston.
Can't get no.
Repository of Historic Collections in Fine Arts, and those things have been donated to the chapter over the years, and we have a collection of war armaments and other artifacts, including the forms. We have really wide range, interesting collection from pottery, glassware, Dutch tiles,
but I guess you've been, how long have you been the town historian? Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sure you get a lot of queries. I like to know a little bit if you could explain, you know, the founding of Flat Rec, when it was founded, and give our audience a little information about the early history of Flat Rec. today. What type of, was it a farming area, orchards, did it have any industry, businesses in the village?
Okay, sure. Well, it was, of course, a primarily agricultural area, but that's not to say that there was an industry, it certainly was. It had been funded freely flowing fruit, on which many mills were erected, and those mills produced milk were necessary initially because people needed lumber mills, and they needed grain that is for flour and, you know, manageable things to live and for their home. But the excess products would then turn into delicate goods, which they could do. So, as you very early 1700s, there is a by the way, that's a family in fact. And so they became quite industrialized and served well beyond the local area.
It's still not in the town. Okay, so yeah, I know Philmont. It has by the pond. It looked like there was a big mill still standing. I don't know if that was the last one. I know there was a fire that destroyed some.
Right.
And were they clothing factories?
Oh my gosh, there was a variety of things. Clothing was part of it, yes, but they made many other things. There were, lumber, carpeting.
Was there something called the Red Mill? Was there a mill that existed into the 20th century?
Yes.
I've seen it, and it looked like it was even in the 50s it was there.
It was. The Red Mill, that's actually in the Castle of Robert Downey 23. It's the mill that you see when you leave in Hamlet after the Banner of Moor Manor. That manor house is on the left.
Okay.
And so the mill was on that property. And yes, it was a grain mill.
I saw something, and here's a new issue, is the Shaw Bridge, which I've been on. I've seen the Shaw Bridge that, there was an article last year that kind of restored so that pedestrians can go across. Is that still in the works? Because I've been over there.
Sure. Yes, it is very much in the works.
Because you mentioned as a girl, you and your father used the bridge to a mill. Where were you going to one of those?
Mills? Well, actually, you're right. and it was a noisy little bridge. I'm sure it was certainly very safe. The foundation was still there. Engineers looked at it and crawled all over it. It the needs of decking repaired some of the great ones. Although riding over it every day is a little scary, one way bridge, and we were nothing but going to the Red Mill, that was the where my
Yeah,
there were a lot of
Church, the Reformed Church, that must go way back, the Dutch Reformed Church.
Oh, it does. I mean, the current building was erected on that location where we know it now. And the cemetery is there that has so many of the founders and original settlers of the area. It's worth scheduling a tour there.
Town historian and Kendrick Hudson chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution. I want to thank you so much for all the information you gave. I think this will be really, I think people are really interested in knowing that about Klobrick and also the DAR chapter. Shows that this area was, I forgot, Hudson could have been the capital of New York State, I think. I don't know, it was a close call, maybe? Might have been.
It was, yes. It was something that came from, and then Albany, you know, was the final decision for residency.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's good. I mean, if we had been the capital, I think we would have, this area would have become like Albany. It wouldn't be this way.
Yeah.
I think you might have, they may have taken that. They might have taken down a lot of stuff and put all those buildings. You might have lost the history. And,
That's right. And
Albany lost a whole section to the Empire Plaza. That whole neighborhood disappeared.
It did. Yeah, that's the whole story.
But maybe it's, in a way it's good. Maybe that's why Hudson is so attractive for people, because you come here and see street practically intact with the buildings and Barn Street and all the other buildings.
Oh, very rude. Fortunate.
So, is there anything that the chapter is going to hold this spring or summer? Anything that we might know about, what to expect to see in that collection? You said?
Well, our meeting starts at 1 o'clock. Program starts between, say, 1:30 to 1:45. We have a little meeting first, and then our program is going to follow. So, if anyone from the general public is certainly willing, you're certainly invited to sit in our business meeting, see what we're all about, what we do, and then the meeting, and the program follows. Yeah, that.
Gene, thank you so much for the interview for WGXC, and it'll be great. So thank you again, and I appreciate you your availability today for the interview.
Well, you're very welcome, and thank you for inviting me to this campus.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much.
And we have in studio, who just came in, welcome. So we have Rich Volo here. Hi, Rich. Oh, hold on. There, let me turn you on. There, now you. Oh,
hey,
here you are. Hi, welcome.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? And who's
good.
With you?
I brought a guest. I brought Dan Hickey here from the Hudson Fire Department.
Dan's here from Hudson Fire Department. That's awesome. So I'm going to plug in. Very high tech here. back in the laptop. So Rich is here to talk about, you're doing the Polar Plunge again, right?
Yes.
How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How's
Thanks
it going?
For being here. It's going good. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going good. Now, if you heard the news, I'm solo. I'll give a shout out to Justin, though.
Oh, we
He's left me.
We don't
But we do love
maybe
her.
Maybe he'll come for the Polar Plunge again.
I think he's already committed to that, hasn't he? Ha ha. Yeah. See what happens when you're no longer here, Justin? No. It's a big commitment to commit to something like the Polar Plunge. But so tell us about this. Will you do it if it's frigid temperatures like it was this past weekend?
Right. I think so. Right,
oh, my Jeff? God. Yes. Wow. Yeah. Good for you.
So last year it went really well.
Right.
We raised over $10,000.
Yeah.
Right. Split between the Hudson Youth Department and the Hudson Fire Department Water Rescue Team. Right. And Dan's here to tell us a little bit about the Water Rescue
Team.
Yeah,
let's talk about the Water Rescue Team.
So what do you guys actually do?
We cover basically any water emergencies that we get called upon from anything like the river, Oakdale.
So it does include the Hudson River?
Yes.
Like to a certain point?
We have mutual aid agreements.
Okay. Is the bridge in there? Is the bridge in? Really? Yeah. That's crazy. But so how have you had to use a lot of the training? Like, do you have, how often do you have to go into the water for an emergency other than the bridge?
Unfortunately, not too often.
That's good. But it is the Boy Scout motto, be prepared, right?
Oh,
you
yeah.
want to be prepared in the case of an emergency.
What are you raising money for specifically this year, the project?
We're still working on getting funding for our communication system. It's an underwater communication system that will allow divers from the water personnel to get back to the shore. If you have a diver under the water,
yeah.
you can communicate with the communication and vice versa. Or what they want to do. Instead of, right now, we use line signals to talk to the room.
Oh, that could get confusing now.
It does sometimes. It works out very well.
Uh-huh.
But just when you're down there in the dark and it's cold and having that peace of mind to hear it on the other side,
probably goes a long way towards safety and just your own, like you said, peace of mind. So have you done this? Are you a member of this team?
Yes, yes, I am. I've been doing it for about 10 years now.
Wow. And so is it disconcerting to be in the water in the dark? I couldn't do that.
Your mind can be like something easy to swim by.
Bigger fish.
Well,
oh my goodness.
There's many things that people can do for the Hudson Polar Plunge. You don't have to go into the water.
I am going to go on record right now, Rich, and say I will again gladly make my donation to not do the Polar Plunge.
There you go.
So
see?
Count me down
and,
for my donation.
Saturday, February 23rd.
Yes.
Okay. HudsonPolarPlunge.com. And there you can go there and you can sign up. You can have a team. We ask for a minimum $25 starting donation. For the youth department, the funds will be going towards Oakdale Lake to help some of the improvements there. And then also we're going to have, that is, the Polar Plunge is at what time? It's at
11 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
So okay. 11 o'clock check-in, get there by 11, register, make sure that you're there, you get a number, we're going to check you in, and then we know and we call you out, and I'll be doing like a little... red carpet kind of thing.
Oh, very nice.
Like the John Rivers of the Hudson Polo Plunge. And as we introduce people and put them in the water. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, like I said. And then this year, we are including a chili cook-off, which will happen afterwards.
Oh, very good idea. And warm people up.
Right. So, and where is that going to happen?
That's going to be at the Central Firehouse on 7th Street, just up the hill.
Oh, very nice. I walked down to watch the festivities. It was a lot of fun last year. I went to watch. Now, last year was your first annual. Extremely successful. I mean, could not believe how many people showed up, not only to participate, but to watch.
Right.
It was awesome. It seemed like a good community. Like, you had all different political persuasions and all sorts of, people coming together to watch the hilarity.
We lucked out, I think, really with the weather too.
It
wasn't super cold. It was cold like today right now.
Right.
It's 20 something degrees.
Okay.
The water will be cold, because it's February 23rd, so that'll be cold.
Right.
And we have a safety crew out there, right?
Yeah, so last year, there was no ice.
We actually broke the ice up the night before, but then it all melted anyway before.
because it was a little warm. Yeah. So what would you do? Make a channel if there's ice for people to run?
Yep.